You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 583.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Oh, hello, Kevin. How are you?
Good. This is going to be a quick show, I think. Our 82 show was quick. I believe the 83 show shall also be quick, if that works for you.
Oh, yeah. I need to get this recorded and then go back to hiding in my ice box because it has gotten very hot.
It's crazy hot. Let's get going. How about National Whatever Day?
It's a Brad Pack birthday.
Okay. Andrew McCarthy?
Oh, so close.
Was I close?
Oh, you're going to be so surprised at how close you were. No, it's Phoebe Capes is turning 60.
Phoebe. Okay. I happen to know. I remember. This is the second time we've celebrated Phoebe Capes for National Whatever Day.
No.
No, this is okay. It's fine. We could celebrate Phoebe every week for all I care. That's fine.
Because the most recent time I remember talking about her was when we did the flop fight.
Phoebe was in our Brat Pack flop fight with our buddy Gary. Absolutely. But I think this was 4 years ago, if I'm recalling correctly. Because usually for celebrity birthdays, you go for an age ending with a 5 or a 0, right?
Right.
But for Phoebe, if I'm recalling correctly, you made an exception. You just couldn't wait to talk about Phoebe Capes.
I couldn't wait to talk about Phoebe Capes. Okay.
I think we celebrated Phoebe turning 56, if I'm recalling correctly, which would have been, what, 4 years ago?
Wow. Well, there aren't very many exciting celebrities having milestone birthdays around this time of year.
We only need one, and we got her.
Yeah, Phoebe Capes. Now we're going to have a super quick show, because we've already done this segment.
I'm always ready to talk about Phoebe. What are we talking about? Gremlins? How weird was that?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times? Okay, I thought you were going to go Gremlins.
We could go Gremlins. That's okay.
Fast Times is fine also. A little Private School, maybe? Private School? Are you a fan?
Yeah, from 1983. How fitting for this episode.
Have you really seen Private School? Be honest.
Heck no, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, man, I have. It's really stupid. I assure you. I love it. It does have a good soundtrack. It's just a no-fooling around 80s cheapo movie soundtrack. You could do worse than Private School.
And she sings on it.
I think she does.
Yeah, I know. I know about Gremlins, but when I think of Phoebe Capes, I think of Drop Dead Fred.
Right, which I still have not seen.
You're not missing much.
And was that like an imaginary friend?
Yeah, played by Rick Mayhall.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
That's okay.
I feel like there's a lot of Phoebe movies I've yet to see. Never saw that. What else have I never seen? Shag? Didn't she do a movie called Shag?
I can neither confirm nor deny, but I do believe you're right about that.
I may have just made that up in my brain, but I feel like that's another Phoebe Capes movie.
She definitely was in The Blue Lagoon.
I don't think she was. That was Brooke Shields.
Ah, she was in Paradise, which was kind of like it.
Yeah, Phoebe was in the Blue Lagoon ripoff movie Paradise.
But we love her.
Yeah, she was on a run, like 82 through 85 or so. That was really the peak Kate's years, and she kind of dropped out of show business to raise her kids. And I know she's dabbled on occasion, but for the most part, she dropped out. And you know what? Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, Jennifer Jason Leigh got her to come back and be in a movie in 2001.
Right. I think we discussed that. That sounds familiar.
Because they're friends. But sure. Other than that, hide nor hair, Phoebe Capes has been seen or heard since at least 2015, when she did her Gremlins character voice for a Lego movie. Or Lego video game, actually.
I think I just watched a clip of the first time she was on Letterman, which was when Fast Times came out. I just happened to see that for no good reason. and I recommend it. Well, happy birthday, Phoebe.
Again.
This can be an every 4 year thing, like leap year or the Olympics. Let's do it. See you in 4 years, Phoebe. So this is Flopcast 583. So we're celebrating 1983 because this is the run of 80s themed shows that we do every 100 episodes. 583, and you have something for 1983. I did not bring much today for 83, but I have a little bit. Well, I went to the, I don't know what they call it. It has like three or four different names now, but the Northeast Comic Con, which you've been to with me.
Oh, well, yeah, I have.
Northeast Comic Con. This year, they also called it Music Con, Collectors Festival, Music Con, Comic Con, whatever it was. I was there this past weekend just for one evening. I just popped in really quick. A very weird lineup of guests, as always. You know, that show gets an eclectic guest lineup.
Yeah, a lot of range.
They were calling it Music Con, and it was mostly music themed celebrity guests were there, with an exception or two here and there, including, as soon as I walked in, there's Flash Gordon, Cornflake. There's Sam Jones.
Your personal friend.
My close personal friend, Sam J. Jones, Flash Gordon from the movie back in 1980. And yeah, I worked with Sam and with Melody, the stars of Flash Gordon at Dragon Con last year. I got to interview them every day. But Sam was there at the Northeast Comic Con. And I mean, Sam meets 1,000 people, you know, every weekend. So I wasn't sure if he'd have any idea who I was. He did seem to vaguely remember me. When he saw me, he looked at me and he said, "I know you. Where do I know you from?" He knew that he knew me. He didn't know how he knew me.
Still nice to be recognized.
By Flash Gordon, absolutely. I'll take that. The Highwayman, Sam Jones. So Sam was, you know, having a fun time. He's a fun guy. What a character. And he's, you know, he was just hanging out there holding court, meeting the fans. So it was nice to chat with Sam for a few minutes and just wandering around the room after that. Well, they had this whole aisle of all these music guests, including a weird lineup. Sherry Curry was there from the Runaways.
Oh.
Sherry was in the Runaways with Joan Jett and Lita Ford, you know, back in the 70s. And she did some acting as well. I saw her in Foxes, the movie with Jodie Foster. I didn't feel like I had anything worthwhile to say to Sherry Curry from the Runaways. So it was just kind of, you know, I walked by. Oh, there she is. All right.
Yeah.
Although reading up on her, she's into woodworking now, or she's into wood sculpting or carving, like with a chainsaw. She hacks at pieces of wood and makes art.
Those look cool.
I did overhear somebody asking her about her her wood carving, but she didn't have any there, as far as I could tell. I didn't see any giant, crazy wood carvings.
Oh, see, that would have been fun if in the middle of a convention someone was revving a chainsaw.
Yeah. Can you imagine Sherry Curry from The Runaways breaking out a chainsaw in the middle of the convention?
Free wood chips for everyone. Bring them home. Make mulch.
Yeah, yeah. Free mulch for all attendees. That would have been appropriate.
Thanks to Sherry Curry. That really could have put her name on the map.
Anyway, it was cool to see her there.
With a distinct lack of wood shavings. But go on.
Also among the music guests was somebody that you're a fan of.
Ooh, tell me more.
And appropriate for our 1983 episode, because I think the first time we did a 1983 themed episode, you told me your favorite song from 1983. Do you remember what you said?
The Stompers.
Stompers. They had a song called Never Tell an Angel, which was not a huge hit, but a very minor hit song. But you loved it.
It was a huge hit to me, Kevin.
Well, the guy from the Stompers was there. Sal Baglio?
Sal Stomperman.
Not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but yeah, he was there.
Wow.
Guy from the Stompers, who I saw in concert a few years ago.
Stompers are good.
You may recall, we went to see Huey Lewis, and the Stompers were opening.
That's choice. That is so good.
I was just trying to make you crazy jealous that night, so we went to see them. So that's kind of a theme for a 1983 anyway, is there's the dude from the Stompers. And further down the line, as I was walking up this aisle, checking out the weird music people, one of the Ramones was there. One of the few surviving Ramones, Cornflake. Richie Ramone.
Richie Ramone. Nice.
Richie was drummer number 3 in the Ramones. They went Tommy, then they went Marky, and then Richie. and then Marky again. But Richie was there. Richie joined the Ramones in 1983.
It's like they did this on purpose.
This is all coming together. I saw Richie once before. Richie's the only Ramone that I've ever met because I did meet him briefly at it. I went to a Richie Ramone concert at the Middle East in Cambridge a few years back. But he's still, I like that he's still out there and that he kept the name.
Yes.
In the divorce.
Well, once you're a Ramone, who else can you be?
You're always going to be a Ramone. I agree. But good to see Richie. And then the big music guest was, an actual monkey was there. The last monkey.
The last monkey standing.
There's Mickey.
That's cool that Mickey comes out for these things.
Mickey has been to this show before. You and I saw Mickey together at Northeast Comic Con.
Yeah.
A few years back.
I felt the effect of Mickey's smile in person.
Yeah, that with the time that you were there, that was the show where he actually came out and played, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Another band was playing at the after show concert thing, and he just popped out to do two or three Monkey songs with another band, which was super fun. I don't think he did any music performances at this show this past weekend, but he was there hanging out and meeting people and did a couple of Q&As. Always great seeing Mickey. And I think because Mickey was there in celebration of an actual monkey being on the premises, they also had performing that night was a band called Zilch, which is a Monkees cover band. So I stuck around to see Zilch, and they were really good. Very fun show. Interesting set list. They did all the hits, of course, but some lesser-known stuff as well. And they weren't, like, impersonating the specific guys. They were just doing the songs. But they were wearing the shirts, those double-buttoned, you know, monkey suits. They did have those on, cool, which was appropriate. But they were quite good. I recommend check out Zilch, everybody, if you can. Want to hear some live Monkees music.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, they're out there. So then I bailed out after the big Zilch concert. So that was my Northeast Comic Con / Music Con experience anyway. That was a weird little evening.
I'm glad you get to see it.
Yes, I got in, I got out. You know the best part?
What?
Is because usually, you know, you run into friends or we run into acquaintances from the nerd circles that we run in when we go to these things.
Oh, wait, did you run into enemies instead?
I ran into bitter enemies. Yes, yes, a lot of bad blood. A lot of dark, dark things went down. It got ugly.
And that was the best part.
No, you know what was good is that I didn't run into anybody. No friends, no enemies, nobody. Nobody in the room recognized me at all except Flash Gordon.
Well, Kevin, that sounds like your kind of event.
It really was. I felt very anonymous, which was nice. I was able to just slip in and out.
You need to teach me your technique.
Oh, yeah. Everybody sees you coming.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Look, there's Cornflake. That was a lovely, albeit odd, Friday evening anyway. And the reason I was definitely only going to be there one night only was because we bailed out of Chickentown the very next day. We headed out west, out to western Massachusetts, out to Tanglewood.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big sort of concert venue place out in western Mass. I can't remember. Have you been there?
Absolutely, yeah.
You've been to Tanglewood. Okay, you know.
I think it must have been about 10 years ago now. The Bare Naked Ladies were headlining, and Guster and Ben Folds 5 were there.
Yeah, they do these kind of pop music concerts there a few times a year. It's mostly used for classical music, right?
Yes, I have friends that sing at Tanglewood that are very accomplished.
Yeah, and Tanglewood, I think, is mostly the home to the Boston Symphony Orchestra, the Boston Pops. They do their shows all through the summer out there.
And there's a Tanglewood choir.
Oh, nice. So you were there. Now, when you were there, were you in the covered, seated part up near the stage, or were you out on the lawn where most people are?
We were supposed to be out on the lawn.
Yeah.
Some folks took pity on us and allowed us to move to the covered area.
That's good, especially for a show like that, because that's what struck me. Now, we had great seats, so we were like 10th row. But when I turned around and looked back, there's a lawn. There's a giant lawn, and most people are out on the lawn. But it's not like any other venue I've been to. Usually the lawn, it's kind of sloped so that you can see the stage right. from the, it might be far away, but you can see it. As far as I could tell.
Not at Tanglewood.
Very few people on the lawn have any view at all of the stage, right? Because it kind of slopes down, but the lawn is just kind of flat.
Flat.
And yep. if you're not right up against the covered part, you can't see anything, which is fine for classical music. My impression is that people go there, they bring their chairs, they bring their picnic stuff. And you sit on the lawn, you can't see a thing, but you don't care. You're just, you know, like, I go to see the Boston Symphony Orchestra, I don't need to see the guy playing the bassoon, right? Who cares?
Up close and personal.
Yeah.
With the viola.
Yeah. So people are kicking back with their bottle of wine or their bag of Doritos or whatever, and they're good. It seemed to me the people on the lawn, you're not really at a concert. It's like you're picnicking while listening to a concert, which is happening nearby.
Yep.
Would you say that's accurate?
Yes.
Yeah. Which again, fine, especially for classical, but Cornflake is going to see the Bare Naked Ladies. You want to go see the Bare Naked Ladies, right?
Yeah. I want a view of the Bare Naked Ladies.
Everybody wants to see Bare Naked Ladies. I think that's something we can all universally agree on, right?
Truth.
That's why we used to go to Phoebe Cates movies back in the day.
Exactly. I was going to say we were talking about Phoebe Cates movies earlier.
Oh, yes, we were. So we were out there at beautiful grounds, by the way. I'd never been to Tanglewood before. A lovely area just to walk around before the show. And it weirdly quiet. I was struck by just how peaceful and quiet it was just walking around before the show started. It was like, this is weird. It's weird that a rock concert is about to start here.
It's not your typical rock scene.
No. Right, right. It seems to be like it's well-to-do hippies, you know?
Yes, that is the perfect description. That's actually the perfect description of most of Western Massachusetts.
Yeah, Western Massachusetts, it's well-to-do hippies. But anyway, we were there. We haven't even said why we were there. We were there to see Elvis Costello.
He's fantastic.
You know I'm a fan of Elvis Costello, and it's been several years since we've been to a Costello show, so off we went to Tanglewood, and opening act, very appropriately, was Nick Lowe.
Oh.
And I was excited about that. I've seen Nick Lowe before. We went to a Nick Lowe solo show many years back, but this was Nick Lowe with a band opening the show. And Nick and Elvis have a history. Like, Nick Lowe was part of that British pub rock scene of the 70s that Elvis came out of as well. And Nick produced the first several Elvis Costello and the Attractions albums in the 70s and early 80s. And Nick Lowe wrote one of Elvis's best-known songs, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. That's a Nick Lowe song.
Uh-huh.
So it's cool that they still work together. And they've done a lot of shows, I think, in the last couple of years where Nick is the opening act for Elvis. And Nick Lowe, to make it even more crazy and weird and fun, Nick Lowe's backup band these days, it's a band called Los Straitjackets. Do you know these guys?
No, but that is such a cool name.
Los Straitjackets. And this was a band that existed, and they just kind of met up somehow, and they go out with Nick Lowe as his backup band, but they do their own thing as well. It's a band. It's a rock band. They do a surf rock, a lot of surf rock, as well as other stuff, I think. But they wear Mexican wrestling masks, all of them. The band comes out, they're all wearing, you know, full face-covered Mexican wrestling masks.
Wow.
They're Los Straitjackets.
You've got to be committed to that because, especially at a summer outdoor concert, that can't have been comfortable.
They seemed to be okay. They seemed fine. But yeah, there they were in their, it's such a goofy visual because here's this, you know, older British gentleman, Nick Lowe, surrounded by Mexican wrestlers playing surf rock.
That's not something I would have imagined.
And they're good. They sounded great. Very fun opening set. And then here comes Elvis. This is Elvis Costello and the Imposters, which is the band he's been touring with for many, many years now. It's essentially Elvis Costello and the Attractions, but with a different bass player. But he's still got the original drummer, the original keyboardist. These are the guys that he's been playing with since 1978. Plus, he's added another guy. The last couple of years, he has a second guitarist. And this is a guy I'd heard of, a guy named Charlie Sexton. Do you remember a song called Beats So Lonely by Charlie Sexton back in the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah, this guy had a hit song in like 1985, I believe. What I didn't know about Charlie Sexton back when he had that hit song, Beats So Lonely, he was 16.
no way he does not sound like a 16-year-old in that song.
No, he's got that thick, deep voice. He sounded like Eddie Money. You know?
He did. I thought that was Eddie Money.
That was a 16-year-old kid.
That's crazy.
So they sound incredible, needless to say. Just a great, great set from Elvis. However, it kind of went off the rails. Like it went on too long and too weird. The encore was just dragging. Like he does pump it up and he does What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding, and everybody's going nuts and having a great time. And then he just kept going and doing just long, slow songs, and he kind of lost everybody.
Whoops.
It was a long set, which is fine, but it dragged. And I mean, people were walking out. People were like, I should probably get back to the car.
It's a long drive home.
The lawn people, I'm sure, had been bailing out for quite a while, but I'm watching people in the first 10 rows walking out.
During the encore.
Yeah. Elvis was testing the patience of the audience by the end. But, you know, it's Elvis Costello. He can do whatever he wants. And he did.
All the power to him.
At Tanglewood. Yeah. So that's where I was this past weekend. But to get back to 1983, 83 was such a big year for music. I was just looking at, like, I pulled up, here's the Billboard Top 100 Songs for 1983, and it was such a transition year, and, like, 83 it's really the year that the 80s became the 80s, if that makes any sense. Like, 80 through 82, a lot of it still sounded very much like the 70s.
Good point, yes.
And, you know, disco's dropping off. And all that country pop stuff was hanging around and all the kind of sappy ballad stuff. Some hints of new wave were cracking into the top 40 by 82. But 83, there was a lot of it. There were just so many quirky new wave songs were suddenly huge top 40 hits. And you started seeing the soft rock acts, you know, Air Supply, Christopher Cross. They still had hit songs, but they were starting to fade away. And that the new superstar groups coming up were suddenly Duran Duran, Culture Club, The Police, you know, number one song of the year was by The Police. Prince became a superstar in 1983. But just going through this list of songs, though, it's all those goofy, quirky new wave songs. It's Electric Avenue and She Blinded Me with Science, Mr. Roboto, you know, which was by a 70s band, but this is Styx getting into the goofy new wave stuff. Putting on the Ritz, Safety Dance, Our House, Too Shy, you know, Kaja Gugu.
Yes, music was fun.
Your buddy Lamal. We've been to a Lamal concert. We know the truth.
My good friend.
But anyway, that's what I was looking at anyway, was just what a killer year in music. But we don't need to dwell on it because we can refer people to some other podcasts for further listening about the music of 83. Because I just listened to three different podcast episodes about the music of 1983 from friends of ours.
Wow.
Yeah. So I want to point people towards White Rocket Entertainment. That's a friend of mine, Van Plexico, a writer and a Dragon Con panelist. And he just did an episode of White Rocket Entertainment about the music of 1983, which was really fun. And also here on the ESO Network, we have the show Modern Musicology. They just did a two-parter, two episodes about the music of 1983. They split the year in half so they could really give it the attention it deserves. So Modern Musicology episodes 73 and 74, we'll have links to those shows. They were actually asking listeners to submit their favorite albums of 1983, which I did. I just sent them a quick note, and I didn't realize they were going to use these on the air, but they actually read the list that I sent them on the show among their other listener suggestions. But the ones that I sent them, just the albums that came to mind when I thought about 83, I gave them Cyndi Lauper, She's So Unusual. This was the year we met Cyndi.
That's a good one.
Very important. This was Billy Joel's Innocent Man album.
Nice.
Men at Work. This was the second Men at Work album. Cargo came out in 83.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that recently.
Yeah, yeah. With Overkill, It's a Mistake. And then the other record that I suggested to them was, appropriately, Elvis Costello, Punch the Clock. that was my meager contribution anyway to Modern Musicology for their Music of 83 episodes. And again, yeah, we'll have links to that because you should all be listening to Modern Musicology. What's wrong with you people?
Do you want a list?
Go over there right now and check it out. Actually, don't go quite yet. We're not quite done yet because Cornflake, take us back to 1983 in the form of a television commercial, which is how you've been reliving the 80s for these episodes.
For me, it's been a hot summer of back-to-back commercials.
You've selected yet another TV commercial. You sent it to me right before we started the show, so I have seen it. Please tell people about Dial Soap.
Okay. There's the ad campaign for Dial that I remember, both on the TV and on the radio commercials, and it was, aren't you glad you used Dial? Don't you wish everyone did, right? You remember that?
Vaguely. I vaguely remember that there were soap commercials around. I don't know that I recalled any of them specifically.
I don't know what's wrong with me, Kevin, but I remember all the soap commercials.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Zestfully Clean. I remember Dial Soap.
I do remember the Zest song, yes.
And Irish Springs.
Yes, yes.
I mean, those soap commercials were a good time. But when I started watching Dial Soap commercials from 1983, I realized that they were vaguely suggestive. Like, more than one commercial, because I sent you two,
yep,
made it pretty clear that with Dial Soap, they had the Beach Boys philosophy going. It was two girls for every guy.
Ah.
Did you notice?
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, it's a dude running around, he's flipping pancakes and... He's out, he's at work, he's at parties. You're just seeing a guy living his life. And yeah, he does seem to be surrounded by the ladies wherever he goes. I guess all thanks to Dial Soap, right?
Yeah.
It's certainly not based on his personality.
No. A kiss on each cheek?
Yeah, they love him.
From each girl?
How many desperate losers in 1983 thought, this is what's going to turn things around for me? Well, I don't think I remember these commercials. But yeah, when you mentioned Zest and you mentioned Irish Spring, those take me back more than these Dial ads do. So those made more of an impression. But these are certainly fine examples of ridiculous 80s commercials. Dial Soap, everybody. Try it. I assume we'll have a 1984 commercial next week, so looking forward to that. But for now, we promise to keep this one short, so let's go ahead and wrap this up.
All right. Well, what we want to do is encourage listeners to find us on the internet between shows. You can do that by going to flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast. You can go on Mastodon. We're at universidon.com/@flopcast, Instagram, the_flopcast. And on Apple Podcasts, that's a good place to leave a rating and a review for the show if that's something you'd like to do. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
And you know, what's so funny about Peace, Love, and Sponges? That was our big hit back in 1983. Cornflake, thanks for going back with me once again as our 80s shows roll along. We'll try it again next time. Meanwhile, everybody, please be safe, be kind, be silly. Use your Dial Soap, you losers, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Good afternoon.
May we be of assistance, sir?
Yes, I'm looking for a podcast for someone who likes that 1960s headache music.
Don't these podcasters have atrocious taste?
Sir, may I recommend this podcast by Monkeying Around? I guarantee a migraine.
I never heard of Monkeying Around.
You never heard of Monkeying Around?
He's never heard of Monkeying Around.
What does Monkeying Around sound like? I'll take it.
He took it?
He took it.
Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys.
Cornflake, it's the Secret After Show. Hello.
Hi. Just in time for the Secret After Show, you got me thinking about Lamal.
Lamal, frontman of Kaja Goo Goo, whose big hit song in 1983 was Too Shy. And then a couple years later, he came back solo as Lamal with The Neverending Story.
Did you know he had a solo song in 1983?
I only know one Lamal song, and I just named it. Even though you and I have been to a Lamal show, I still only know the two songs.
Yeah, he released a song called Only for Love in 1983. It only charted in the UK, mm-hmm. but that is 1983 marked the beginning of Lamal's solo career before the Never Ending Story even happened. And speaking of 1983, Lamal also released a single a little over 10 years ago called 1983.
Oh, wow. Oh, I want to hear that.
You got to check it out.
Have you heard it?
No.
You know what that means?
What?
Absolutely no one has heard it. Poor Lamal. What does he need to do?
He needs to spike his hair up higher.
You and I are the only ones who've ever been to a Lamal show. We're clearly obsessed with 1983. We just did a whole show about it. He put out a song called 1983. We haven't heard it.
I don't know. I feel like I need to sit in the corner and think long and hard about my actions.
I feel like we have personally wronged Lamal.
But I feel like he's the kind of guy who just can't get angry at us for it.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.